Welcome to The Authentic Life of KL, the podcast where we throw out the rule book, where we dive in head first to the real and raw, unapologetic journey of living the best life. That includes lots of music. This is your go-to space for empowerment, for deep healing, and owning your authenticity like the boss that you are. We're here to break down walls and slay self-doubt. Dive to the soundtrack of your soul. Every beat and lyric will move through stories that heal and empower. You can live your fullest and most badass life. Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL.
Hey guys, it's Kitty, and today I have with me Wonder Truly. Thank you for joining me.
Oh my goodness. What a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, I'm so excited about this. I ran across your music a while back when we connected, and we'll talk a lot about this later, I'm sure, but your music and The Kids Like Us, that was the one that really, really stuck with me. So I'm very excited to meet you and kind of go along and learn about your journey.
Thank you.
Your website. So I did my, you know, little thing on your website. So this is something that excites me in ways that a lot of times people can't on a soul level for me. So it excited me on a soul level to see you say, it says, how old were you when they told you to stop asking questions? Mm-hmm. Is what you say. And I always say, like, how old were you when you stopped believing in yourself? And it's kind of the same thing.
So yeah.
I was like, did something happen for you to develop that belief, or did it just kind of come to you, those kind of questions? Because with me, it just kind of showed up one day. But was there a path that led to it, or is it just something you've been passionate about?
Yeah. So it's interesting. So I was also raised in a church, mm-hmm. and I had a wild journey of a crisis of faith that led me to, I'm trying to truncate this. So like, I used to be like, I was on the worship team,
yeah.
and I would do like prophetic painting, and I did like sozo ministry, and I was the steward of a prayer house. So like, I was in it, and I felt so close to the presence of God all the time. And then I was also married at the time, and things with my marriage ended up being like really abusive. And at some point, for self-protection, I just cut my heart off from the urge to fight anymore. And then I understand now that like you don't get to just like cut off some of your heart. Like when you cut yourself off, you're cut off. Mm-hmm. And so I like lost my connection to God, and I was so just alarmed and upset. And my marriage ended up crumbling. And I came to this conclusion where God, according to the Bible, according to the gospel, he's bigger than our understanding, or she, God, whatever God is right. bigger than our understanding. And I believe that especially like fundamentalist Christian religion, the goal of it is to put God in a box that's understandable, and to like create ourselves a little cube that is comfortable, that we can like have answers for what happens when we die, what happens before we're born, you know, yada, yada. And I chose my name because I decided I was going to be comfortable with the unknown, and I was going to raise the box, the walls of the box, and just like be okay with that like abyss of not knowing, and knowing that like the universe and God is so much bigger than me. And I think that's so much more beautiful for me personally. It's been really, really rewarding.
No, I love it. I love it. It's just, I love finding kindred spirits within things like that, because I, you know, anybody that knows me knows I have a small group called Blend Your Spirit. It's called Blend Your Spirit because I believe that, you know, being raised in the Christian church that I was raised in, and you go to church and I have nothing against, you know, people that go to church or Christianity or any beliefs, actually, because I feel like when you show up in something that is this religion, that it creates this box that God has put in. And if God is almighty and all there and universe, source, whatever is so big, then how come there's all these boxes that you just drop your little, you know, drop it in? And it's just so much bigger than that. And I just kind of believe that the universe, source, God, whatever people say, I think shows up in ways that you can perceive it, you know, within your mind, within how you've been raised. And that could be you showing up on the road and smiling, you know, it could be, you know, an actual, you know, church. And so I feel that so much, because that is, and I think that that leads to, again, a lot of the self-doubt, because they're taught, everyone's taught not to question, and this is just the way that it is. And then here comes all the mental struggles that everybody has.
Oh yeah.
Saul, whenever going through your music and things like that, that one of your big passions is just to be inclusive when it comes to the music, whether it be that you write or whether you do producing as well. Is that mm-hmm. correct?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that important to you?
Oh my goodness. I mean, so I'm genderqueer, but as somebody who presents femme and who presents as a woman, there is so much, like, throughout the industry, from recording to gigging to local scenes, there's such a stigma, and there's such a struggle just like operating as a woman. And I'm also queer, so as a queer woman, in the music industry is just so difficult and bizarre, and it shouldn't have to be.
Right.
I saw this beautiful video today that was talking about like under the failure to being under able to understand people's hatred and like people's bigotry and stuff, and it's all of it. It's all confetti and distraction and smoke and mirrors to distract from the fact that we are all going to die. Yeah, it's so bizarre to me that there's all these like layers of stigma or prejudice or gatekeeping, especially in the industry, when like we are all going to the same place and like we're all going to die, and we should cherish each other for that.
Oh,
but
absolutely.
On just like on an on paper level, the fact is that the more marginalized you are, the more difficult it is to make it in any industry. But I am in the music industry, and I am so, so, so passionate about strategically underrepresented demographics and artists having the chance to speak their truth and weave their art and be treated with dignity.
Yeah.
And it's such a powerful thing. I noticed I started doing co-writing sessions for, do you know what February Album Writing Month is?
No, I don't.
Oh my gosh. It's this amazing, awesome event that happens. Like thousands of people do it every year. There's a website. And the goal is to write 14 songs in 28 days. Mm-hmm. And so I started it in 2021, and I did a bunch of co-writing sessions for it. And I started to realize that I was creating this really intentional space for somebody else to show up and like mingle their artistry with mine. And I think collaboration is so magical and so precious. And I've really come to value that in myself, that I create space for people.
Really?
And being able to apply that to the studio, to a studio setting, to a recording setting, like, it is just incredibly magical, the things that come out of that when people feel safe and they just blossom and they experiment, and like the most wonderful, raw, organic things come out of it.
Because they can be authentic, and they're not worried about being judged. They're just worried about just being them. There's no label there. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I could go on forever about this.
Oh, me too. Me too. You're literally speaking my language 100%. I'm like, because that's, I would classify myself as a healer, but then it's like, well, I can do Reiki and I can do these things, but you know what I can really do? I can hold space and I can expand, mm-hmm. and I can show you that it's okay. And mm-hmm. it is safe. Yes, you'll be hurt, but you'll be hurt even if you don't expand and holding those spaces to allow other people to grow. And when you can be a part of that, like, it's so amazing. And then it's also self-reflective for yourself, because you're like, ah, I'm making a difference and I'm not even doing anything. I would say I'm not doing anything significant, but, or maybe you're not doing anything significant, but it is significant that we just show up. And that's what's so sad and crazy is, like, it is significant for people to show up and just be them, because everybody is so much taught it's safer behind a mask. And that's the world we live in, you know? So when we can show up and hold space, I think it's impactful.
I agree. My partner's dad, Richard, he always has this, like, every time we see him at any family function, he's just so grateful. And he's like, you know what? And he's a basketball coach. So he's just like very much on the platitudes with power. And he says again and again, he's like, you know, 80% of life is just showing up. And it means so much that you are here. And so, like, you're right. It feels so easy and it feels so natural. You know what? Can I divert a little bit?
Of course.
Yeah. Okay. So, like, I had this wild, like, brain thing that I noticed. I was talking to my therapist a couple weeks ago. I released my acoustic album Heartprint on the 6th, and it was a couple days before the release, and I was talking to my therapist, and I was like, yeah, like, I'm releasing an album in a couple days, blah, blah, blah. And she stopped me. She was like, that's huge. That's amazing. And I was like, I mean, yeah, whatever. But I have noticed myself, like, discounting it because this, so it's a 3-volume acoustic album that I recorded at the beginning of January, and it's 30 songs. And I had so much fun doing them. Like, they're live one takes. I didn't agonize over them. I didn't, like, make sure everything was perfect. I didn't do a bazillion takes.
Yeah.
And it wasn't hard. And so because I didn't suffer for it, my brain was like, oh, this is nothing. Like, this doesn't deserve to be celebrated because it didn't cost me as much as something else might have.
Yeah, whereas that may have been easy for you, and that's not the hard part. The hard part was releasing and undoing all that crap beforehand to allow you just to be free to do it. Like, finally being free to do it. That is the really beautiful, easy part. It's that, you know, giant mountain that you have to climb to get there. And then we're like, it's really not a big deal. It's just who I am. It's like, no, it's who you are.
Yes.
Like, you did it. It's so great.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's all, everything is like, it was such a magical weekend, honestly. So I released the album on the day that my partner and I went to his cousin's quinceañera. We live in Phoenix and we had to drive to Whittier for it. And I was, like, on this mission per my therapist to, like, find ways to celebrate myself and the album over the weekend. And so we went to this quinceañera, and it was just, like, so it was my first one. I'd never seen anything like it. It around when it was at the after party and the dances with family were happening. And I was just sitting there in tears.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh my gosh, like, this girl is 15 and she hasn't, like, done anything, quote unquote, worthy in my, like, transactionist mind of such a huge celebration. But the truth is that, like, she's worthy and we're worthy of celebrating just because we exist.
Yeah.
And, like, oh my goodness, like, what a mind-boggling concept for my evangelical upbringing.
Sure. No, it's true. And it goes back to even, like, being little, and my mom, our house didn't have it, but, like, a lot of my friends' houses would have, you know, the fine china that you only use when on special occasions. And so now I'm like, bitch, I will use my, if I want to drink out of my goblet, my Halloween goblet, I will do it every day, because you may not have another chance to do it. And every day, like, you're just continuously, if you're doing it right, you're continuously learning more about yourself, and every day should be a celebration. Now, do I always live up to that? No. Like, I have those days in my cave that I hide, but It is true. It's like we think that everything has to be so transactional with if I get that, then that means I have to be a certain way. And that's just not how it really should be. It's how it is a lot, but it's not how it should be.
Yeah, it's not a meritocracy. It's just like
Yeah.
you don't it, and it's so funny too. It's like it was in the gospel all along. It was right there,
Yeah.
and we just like we weren't taught it right. And like the whole point of the gospel is like you don't surprise, you don't actually have to do anything to earn love.
No.
And it's like
Right. And it seems like such a simple thing. Like you deserve joy and happiness and love and fulfillment just by inherently being here on this planet and showing up and claiming what's yours. But we're taught that it's like, oh, wait, I look different. That means that people are going to love me different. And they do, but it's because everybody's been taught that, you know, and it's how do you undo that? How do you, the unbecoming is what I call it. Like, how do you have a whole world unbecoming? Like, that's what needs to happen, the unbecoming.
Yeah, the big deconstruction of it all.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. So let's talk a little bit about your music. So I have a couple songs, but the first song I am going to ask you about is The Kids Like Us, because listening to that song, I was always the well, I'm taller than most of the people in my grade. I'm still taller, but I was always curvier. I always had bigger feet. I always had this. I was different. Now I embrace who I am now, but then it was very hard because you stand out, and so it doesn't really matter how you stood out. You still tend to have those little triggers and things like that. So talk to me about that song.
Well, I was working on ships after my marriage separation. I just went straight to working on cruise ships, singing and playing guitar.
Oh, wow.
And I was really missing my best friend. And she has always been such a pinnacle of like, not rebellion, but like moxie and like spirit. And I also same, just like never fit in,
Yeah.
never really got along with anybody until I met my best friend, this friend group that I have now. And I wrote a song to just sort of like honor our not fitting in-ness and our outcast-ness, and to sort of just like Kids Like Us is a song for anyone who has felt othered. And I love so much with the advent of like the internet and with forums that so many of us who were on the outskirts were able to start coming together.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting too, because now with the algorithms of the internet and everything, it's like so much more individualistic and like separated from
Right.
each other, but there's still some. I still adore and am so thankful for these spaces where the island of misfit, the
Yeah.
spaces that become the islands for the misfit
Right,
toys,
right,
right?
right.
Yeah. So yeah, Kids Like Us is just an anthem for anyone who's felt othered.
Yeah, I love it. I love the part that it says kids like us don't need saving. Because what I love so much about that, and I think in school I didn't necessarily fit in, but I didn't not I was social with everybody. So it wasn't that I didn't have like people to talk to per se, I talked to everybody, but it's like when you're different, I think especially when we're talking about say like church or religion and things like that, and what is the status quo of like the normal per se, at least what's perceived as normal. I think they think, well, if I could just do this, then they would be better. Or if I would just do this, maybe she wouldn't wear black all the time. It's my favorite color, bitch. I'm gonna wear it all the time. Like, but if I could just do, and it's like, no, like you, nobody here needs saving that's different. Like what needs saving is us embracing each other and knowing that when you do that, like everybody's normal then. Like that is the new normal. It changes, like, you know, their ranking on what's normal. And so I do love that because I've seen different people, you know, kids, I mean, my kids, when they were in school, I'm sure some were like, well, if he could just like, no, he was perfectly fine. They're fine. There's not any saving that needs to happen. I mean, maybe sometimes we need help when it comes to depression and things like that. But again, I think a lot of that wouldn't be there if people weren't so judgmental and, you know, they think that a normal is not really what a normal is. So I love that line. You have Holy that I thought maybe you could talk a little bit about as well.
Holy is a very personal song to me. I wrote it. Well, I started writing it when I was on tour in 2018, and I was touring solo out of my Prius, and
Wow.
I know, and I something bad had happened to me. I had played a really cool little venue in Colorado, and I'd had a little bit too much to drink, and I asked to go upstairs and take a nap. And I had ended up being assaulted by the owner of the establishment. And a couple days had gone by, and I was still on the road, and it was so much driving. And I couldn't do it anymore. Like, I couldn't drive through the night to my next stop. I had to stop somewhere. And I found this dilapidated motel. And I like called all my stuff in, and it was definitely like the door of the motel room had definitely been kicked in
Oh,
multiple
gosh.
times, and it was just like barely hanging on by its lock.
Right.
And like someone had smoked in the room, and so it had like stains everywhere, and it was just like so beat up. And it looked how I felt. And I personified this hotel room. And I said, I will make this holy in spite of its red-eyed immediacy. And it was just this opportunity to slow down and connect with what had happened to me in a way that I normally really struggle to do because I over-intellectualize things. In the song, I actually started it and put it aside for several years, and then I came back to it in 2021 and finished it. And I think when we encounter trauma, especially something so violating as an assault, we have it's hard not to feel like we've been fundamentally ruined. And like the guilt of like, oh, I let this happen to me, or I shouldn't have been drinking, or any number of the I shouldn't, and it just piles shame and guilt and brokenness onto you. And the plea in that song is, am I still me? And I still sometimes struggle with that to the point where it's like I now, after 8 years of therapy, am still just sort of like uncovering, okay, like who is me? Like who's under all of the intellectualism, all of the defense mechanisms, all of the things that I did to protect myself through everything that I went through. And I just am so grateful that audiences have connected with that song and have been able to find healing through it alongside me.
I
And
think
I think
it's
that's just like,
needed.
yeah, it's such a privilege. It's so special.
Yeah, it's needed. It's unfortunate, you know, that you went through what you did go through, but you have this view perhaps through different eyes that you can bring these songs to those who are silent. And that's the way that they can bring their voice and make sure their voice is heard is through singing your song, and releasing some of that shame and guilt and all those things that you feel, even though that's not how it is, but you still feel those things. And so you have that gift, to be able to allow others to heal through screaming your song at the top of their voice, And thank you for sharing that with us. I am all about, I think stories save people. And so no matter what they are, I think that stories, and they heal people. Your song Cathedrals is the other one you said something about. Do you mind sharing some of that?
Cathedral. So, oh my gosh, I'm so glad that we connected and that you asked for the songs that were significant and that we're able to do this. So, Cathedrals actually came about after, at the end of 2021, I contracted long COVID, and I was actually sick for 13 months.
Oh, gosh.
And I was bedridden for most of it. I was eating liquid baby food for a lot of it because I was so nauseous I couldn't eat anything. I had wretched brain fog. And there were so many points where I was just like, man, this is not going to get better. And I could be this way forever. And then, as if by magic, in December of 2022, we moved across town, and we had this amazing new apartment, and like all of a sudden I started to get better. And I literally, like, December 8th was our first night sleeping in the new place, and the morning of December 9th I got up and started writing. And Cathedrals was one of the first songs that came out of that. And it was sort of like a love letter to the old apartment. There's a line, "Are you holding my body? Are you keeping me sick?" And I loved that apartment. I loved where we were. It was our first place that we stayed after moving from Seattle. And so it was a big, big change. And like that home held me while I was sick. And I think having a safe space to fall apart, whatever that looks like, whether it's physical illness or mental illness or just recovering from trauma, I think is really important. And I sort of just processed the experience of being sick and having been sick for so long through that song. In the second verse, there's a line, "I'm turning my grief into cathedrals." And that was sort of my first like defiance of, I'm determined to make something beautiful out of this terrible thing that happened to me.
Yeah, it's beautiful because cathedrals are so many things, but they also let the light in and create this most beautiful collage of colors and things like that, when the light finally does come in. So it is a perfect, analogy of trying to make something beautiful out of something tragic. So
Yeah,
I love
absolutely.
that. I love that. So, what do you have coming up for you? Do you have some more music coming up? Tell me a little bit about what you have going on now and upcoming.
Okay. Oh boy. So I have a lot of projects that I'm working on finishing for some artist clients that I'm really excited about. I was working on an album in 2021 before I got sick, and it was like 80% done. And so ever since I got better, I've been like, okay, I need to get back to it. I need to get back to it. And 2024 was supposed to be the year for that, but 2025 is gonna be the year. I was able to recover my files for the most part.
Oh, good.
And yeah, oh my gosh, yeah. Super huge blessing. So I really, really want to get that out. It's called "I Will Try to Help You See the World More Gently." It is a mouthful, but I couldn't figure out any other way to say
Yeah.
it. So I want to release that. I kind of like the idea of doing a live acoustic album every year. So I think in January I'm going to do it, the 2025 live acoustic album, of just because I write so much, and when I perform on Twitch, people are always like, "Oh, do you have this recorded anywhere?" And I'm like, "I don't. I'm so sorry. Please peruse my catalog of another like 100+ songs if you don't mind." So hopefully I can get that done, and then I'm in a lot of like backlog right now, but I'm looking forward to the day when I have enough just mental space to intentionally write another album, because I haven't done that really before. I've always just like compiled albums full of songs I've already written. So
Right, you
eventually,
just have
yeah.
a have an ongoing there list. How has being able to use music as a catalyst for healing, how has that impacted you and how you can move through? I always call it the shit storms of life, but how has having something, because so many people don't, and that's why I'm such an advocate for music and the arts, how has that impacted you in your life and you being able to navigate through?
Oh my gosh, it's tremendous. Like, I am, and it's so humbling that songs that I wrote years ago, like even back in 2013 when I was still in the church, people still really love those songs that I wrote. And for me personally, when I first started writing, it was in middle school and I was very depressed. And it was the feeling of, if I don't get this out of me somehow, I will literally die. And sometimes it is still like that. Sometimes it's still just like, I have this feeling that's so intense and I don't know how to put it into words or conversation, or I've already tried to have many
Yeah.
conversations about it and it's still itching in my brain. And being able to sit down and alchemize it into art is, again, it's magic. It is a tremendous privilege. And it's one of the ways that I've been able to connect with myself and like figure out kind of what's going on under the surface. But it's, I don't know what I would do if I wasn't a writer. Oh, I brought up the like how I used to write was just this very like desperate, like I have to do this. And now it's, I have a lot more freedom with it because I've done a lot
Sure.
of healing and I can explore in my writing. Like I write stories about fictional characters, or I write songs about fictional characters. I write songs about movies and shows. And I think one of the really cool ways about doing that and like sort of like writing by proxy is you find the meaning and the voice of yourself, something that wouldn't necessarily come up if you were like trying to ask yourself directly, but
Right.
like being able to put a proxy in there,
Yeah.
it's sort of like, yeah, you get it. It's really cool. It's very
Yeah,
revealing.
you're
And I
like,
think,
where did that come from? Oh no.
yeah. Yep. Oh my gosh. Yep.
Yeah, those are always interesting. I teach a lot on shadow work and introspection and things like that. And so I even to this day, like I always tell people, like, I'm just a vessel for the universe. Like I have all my own shit. Like there's no way that I am all put together. But I can navigate enough to help you see things differently. And typically, when I'm helping someone else, I'm like, oh man, same. Oh man.
Yeah, I do tarot readings and it's very much
Oh yeah.
like, oh, interesting. That card seems to be coming up for everybody this week. Like, I wonder what that's
I
about.
know. No, I do. I do too. I actually, right before this, I do something. It's going to change going forward, but I do something we call Nooners with Kitty, and I just pull a card for self-reflection. And so it helps us kind of like dive in a little more. And today was embracing your gifts. And I was like, I don't know who this is for, but all y'all, not me, but all y'all need to really embrace your gifts. But it's being able to help other people, I think in a way it helps us so much because we see ourselves in humanity and in other people, and I think it makes us more gentle. It makes us more gentle. Make.
Yeah. What is your favorite tarot card this week?
Gosh, I think the star is the one that kept coming up this week. The star. And so in our little group, there is a daily reading that a lot of the people who are in the community will go in there and pull if they're learning or if someone wants one, they'll go in there. And the stars just come up pretty consistently
Wow.
for many. So I'm like,
Nice.
okay, I hear you, universe. What is yours? What is your favorite?
So the star is actually one of my birth cards. That's really funny.
Oh.
My favorites are the Four of Pentacles, which is about like boundaries and protection, and the Eight of Cups, which is the walking away from the choices that you could have made after the Seven of Cups, which is about like being faced with all of the choices.
Right.
And I think it's such an important segue to be able to like grieve the choices you didn't make and like have that space for yourself before you enter into the Nine of Cups, the wish card, the yes card.
Yeah. No, you brought up a good point. It's grieving. Oh, we talk about this a lot because I think it's missed just across the board for us as people that we think that, and I'm sure that you feel this, like you're this person here, right? As a teenager or a young adult or whatever. And then somewhere along the way, you kind of start waking up and realizing if you're lucky that life is so much more than what we think. And then you think about this person and like grieving that person is a hard thing. It's everything in your past and the decisions you could have made, should have made, whatever. I think that that is such a hard thing, and people don't talk about grief. They think grief is only when someone physically dies, but it's when there's the death of any kind of anything around you that you grieve. And I think the prior you is a hard one to let go of because sometimes you lose friends, sometimes you lose, all different kinds of things. So the
Yeah,
grief one, yeah.
it's tough.
So I feel like we could talk forever, but
Forever.
forever and ever. But I do love to end the podcast with this. If someone comes to you and they're struggling through a very dark time in their life, what is some words of advice or wisdom that you may give them that may help them through to see the next day?
I am always an advocate of feel your feelings and give space for your feelings. And now I'm entering this period of optimism where I'm just like, okay, everything is temporary. Like the good time you had before this bad time, like that was temporary. And as horrible as this dark time is, like that is also temporary. And there's going to be a time when you're going to get past it. And shockingly enough, there are going to be things that you miss about this time, like the support you had, or the friends that you had, or your coping mechanisms, or, and life is so fleeting and precious. And it's just so like we can minister to ourselves in any point of our lives. And I don't know, you're no less precious just because you're going through a hard time. Like, you are no less powerful. You are no less wonderful. And it's gonna, I promise, I promise, I promise, I promise it's gonna be okay.
It always gets better. Then it'll get worse. And then it gets better. Then it gets worse. It's all over the place. Yeah, it is truly about the journey. And I think the more that you're open to being open to the journey, I think the more the universe throws the right people in your path. And you're like, I knew it. I knew it. I knew, I think it's just something that I think I love to talk to other people and find out what they would say to people, because in the end, that's what we're left here doing, is trying to support each other and through the hard times,
Thank you for joining us on this episode of The Authentic Life with KL, where we explore the powerful intersection of healing and music. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give a follow and share with your friends.
You can find more information about The Authentic Life of KL and Kitty Lynn at kittylynn.com, kittylynne.com. Thanks so much for listening.